Okay, let me get my timing. All right. So I hope you got a little bit of information last week that started hitting. I had several people tell me, do you know how much history you put out there? You know? And that was only a blip of what the guy had in the article that I've been reading. And so I told you last week that this is indeed actually based on a book, and these are the guy's notes that he decided to put on his web page called truthinscripture.org. His name is Joseph Lennard, and he wrote a book on this detailing the day, month, day, and within 90 minutes of when Jesus would have been born. Nothing I'd ever heard of before. If you'd have told me that any other time in life, I'd have said it's witchcraft. However, I've grown up, matured a little bit, and realized there are facts out there. There are things that we have ignored for centuries. We just like it our way, and we want to argue over what is. I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to argue with you. This is what I've read. I know the facts the guy has given, and they line up. He's not telling us when Jesus is coming back for the church. He's telling us when he was born, based on things the Bible told us, based on traditions of the Jews, and history as well. When I was growing up, that was one thing that the church didn't want to use, was history. Well, it ain't in the Bible, so it didn't happen. Crying out loud. It doesn't have to be in the Bible for it to have happened. So, this time around, we're going to look at biblical method for calculating the birth of Christ. So there have been many dates that have been proposed over the centuries for the birth of Christ, and more so even lately. And yes, it does fall over a Jewish festival. Unsurprising. But the time of the year is when everybody kind of starts missing it. And I have to agree with this guy. One of the times, the most common one, is in spring. Well, new life, right? What more representation than new life being born? Well, we also celebrate his death in the spring. Well, there you have it. Well, hopefully I give you this information. I hope you can see how that's probably not the most likely scenario. The biblical method involves figuring John the Baptist's birthday. See, we forget about him. He was just a blip in our Bibles. He's a very important blip. And applying other information in Luke regarding their births. Information from the Old Testament and the Jewish Mishnah are also required. The Jewish Mishnah is the oldest authoritative post-biblical collection of Jewish oral laws. It took two centuries to compile, and it was finalized in the third century. So it was finalized about the time our Bible was canonized. And so all these are the traditions and the laws. This isn't their Bible, so don't go getting bent out of shape, but it is their traditions and laws, and so you have to know that stuff. I didn't know much about tradition until joining the Marines, and then everything was a tradition. It's a tradition to, you get promoted to corporal, you get a blood stripe. So they beat the socks off of you, literally, so you can't walk. I held onto a 2x4, and I said, the first person that gives me a blood stripe gets this up the side of the head. I did not get a blood stripe. I actually have some scripture for you today. In Luke 1, verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, there's not much on, first off, on the daughters of Aaron, other than the fact that they were the daughters of Aaron. They were the female descendants. So Elizabeth and Zacharias were kissing cousins, which isn't uncommon back then. And not as uncommon today as you think. Because they were probably far apart, but... So Abijah was in the 8th division or course out of 24, which God instructed David to set up for the service in the temple. You'll find that in 1 Chronicles 24, 1 through 19. God told him, you will have this set up. So they were to serve 1 week. Each course served 1 week from Sabbath to Sabbath, 2 times a year. That's all they had to do. According to Jewish Mishnah, all courses served together during the 3 pilgrim feasts, unleavened bread, Pentecost, and tabernacles. So you had your week, and then you picked up 3 more. But everybody served. So each course served a total of 5 weeks per year. A normal or present Hebrew calendar consists of 12 lunar months of 29 or 30 days, which equals 354 days, about 11 days shorter than a solar, which is 365.24. During a regular Jewish year, which occurs 12 times in a 19-year cycle, a total of 51 weeks, 24 weeks times 2 is 48, plus 3 weeks for pilgrim feasts equals 51 weeks. So they had their job planned out. Now that's when they came into the temple and they served everything else. It doesn't mean that they didn't do anything at all. It meant that's when they were in the Holy of Holies, where if they weren't clean, if they weren't good, they were gone. In 4 BC, Nisan 1 was our March 29th. Preceding Sabbath was March 24th, making the first week of duties Sabbath noon March 24 to Sabbath noon March 31, and etc. The third course was Passover, unleavened bread. It was a pilgrimage feast, causing the third course to serve until the Sabbath after Passover. So Sabbath fell, everybody serves. Let's say, I can't even think of the names, because there's 24, or 12 in them. But anyhow, they had this. They still had to serve their personal time. This did not count for their time. So that sector of priesthood had to come and serve the following week. So it got shifted. A lot of us say, well, I served. I served during this week. Yeah, so did everybody. You still did not do your service, so they had to still serve yet. The course for Abijah or Zechariah would have been May 19th through May 26, 4 BC. Oh, and remember, their year is not our year. It didn't start over in January. It starts over in September. And they have 2 new years. Did you know that? They have their civil and their festival. They're religious. Most likely would have been this course the angel visited Zechariah announcing the upcoming child in his life. So in May, the angel would have visited and told him, you're going to have a son. Now remember, they were both old. And he's like, yeah, dude, how's this possible? I'm old and she's old. Kind of curious, though, isn't it, that he asked pretty much the same thing Mary did, didn't he? How is this possible? For I've not known a man. She pointed out a fact. He pointed out a fact. It was a condition of the heart. He doubted in his heart. He was old. These are the facts, and they do not change. He took out the miracle-working power of God. She did not. She was still bright-eyed, full of faith, and she believed God. So due to his unbelief, he was struck mute. This defect would have immediately disqualified him from his duties. Leviticus 21:16, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has any defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. For any man who has a defect shall not approach. A man blind or lame who has a marred face or any limb too long. I can't help it. My right arm's longer than my left. Didn't matter. A man who has a broken foot or a broken hand could not serve. Or is a hunchback or a dwarf or a man who has a defect in his eye. Anybody wearing glasses? You can't serve. Or eczema or a scab or is a eunuch. You know what that is. No man of the descendants of Aaron, the priest, who has a defect shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect, he shall not come near to offer the bread. He may eat the bread of his God, both the most holy and the holy. Only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar because he has a defect, lest he profane my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, sanctify them. That veil is the same veil that tore when Jesus said, it is finished. So we don't have to worry about the fact that we have a broken foot, that we wear glasses, that one leg is longer than the other. I was told my left leg is an inch longer than my right. I also noticed I lean a little to the right. So my right leg is actually short. Doesn't mean I can't serve now because God sanctified me. Back then, there was nothing to sanctify me with. The blood of Christ hadn't been poured out. So he would have left for home. He couldn't be there. Sometime between May 26 and June the 1st, 4 BC, Elizabeth would have conceived. Giving birth near March 10, 3 BC, allowing 280 days for gestation of 40 weeks. That's a perfect, right? Sometimes babies come early. In my case, my oldest one, he took his time. He kept getting bigger. Now, another possibility, and I'm throwing this out there, would be Zechariah was struck between a second course, John the Baptist born in September, Jesus in March, during the rainy season. William Ramsey demonstrated in his book, Born in Bethlehem, that the general time for the census would have been in August to October to encourage participation. Everybody has to walk or ride a camel or a donkey. How many of you love going out in the rain in your nice, comfortable car that is dry, it is climate controlled, but you got to go out in the rain to get into it? It's raining. I don't think I need to go outside. So, the conclusion was Jesus was born in the fall and not in the spring. During the rainy season in Zechariah's first course. So there's another clue to the fall birth of Christ. As I taught you last week, the wise men were not at the birth. They're part of the nativity story, but they weren't there that night. But there were visitors. We remember them, right? The shepherds. Do shepherds, ranchers, particularly out west, where they have mountains, do they put their animals up on the mountains when there's no grass and it's rain and flooding coming down the mountains and snow? No. They have them in the summer and in the fall, and they bring them back. These shepherds were out, laying under the stars, nice and dry, enjoying the weather. My opinion, fall is one of my favorite times, except that it leads to winter. But you got to have winter to have spring and summer and fall. So Jesus would not have been born in the fall or in the spring. It'd have been in the fall. Now, it is impossible to pull a date with just that information. So there was other information. I'm going to tell you the date right here, because he mentioned it several times in his notes, and I'm going to talk about that for just a second. The date that Joseph pinpoints is September 11th, 3 BC. Can anybody sitting in here today think of why God would allow us to get confused on the date to celebrate our Savior in this country? To not celebrate it on September 11th. Does anything come into mind? So I thought about that. I was like, Lord, you allowed the confusion so that we weren't having a festival celebrating the birth of our risen Savior, the birth of the Son of God, on a day that terror struck this country. It brought people close to God for a couple weeks, right? Churches were overflowing. But then they backed off. Because they really weren't into it. And so, there was somebody who did know. There was somebody who knew the exact day he was born. Who had stakes. And that would be Satan, the Antichrist. Not only that, but used a descendant of Abraham. Again, an offshoot, but not Christ. God loves them just as much as he loves me. The difference right now is I gave my life to him. They have to do the same thing. And for a false promise of 70 virgins and whatever else in heaven, they chose to strike. Now, some of us are still a little butthurt. I'm not saying we don't remember. But I want you to understand, some people are mad at God for letting that happen. Understand this, and for some reason, I read this recently, some reason on that day, due to traffic, people calling off, what normally would have been nearly 50,000 people in those buildings was only 20. God did everything he could. We still have free will. You can still do stupid stuff. God tells you not to jump off the building, and you jump. Hit your legs. Hopefully that's all you break. God tried his best. He knew it was going to happen. We now need to understand the devil also knew that day. And why not attack the country that seriously perpetuated the celebration of the birth? Attack that country on the day that Christ was born and fill it with terror instead of joy. That would have grossly affected our celebrations, wouldn't it? And I was thinking about this last night. Christmas is the holiday. I don't care who you are. You don't even have to believe in Christ. But everybody celebrates it for almost a month. Thanksgiving, we don't. Matter of fact, so many of us get so caught up in Black Friday and Christmas, we forget to give thanks. Giving thanks is more important than celebrating the birth. God moves in gratitude. Or how about July 4th? Oh, Pastor, I hear all the ads. No, we're not talking about the commercialism of our holidays. Everything else, you only hear about it because somebody's got a sale going on. It's our Memorial Day sale. It's our 4th of July sale. Why don't you just lower your prices and let us live? But Christmas, the day after People are getting Christmas gifts. I get it. But the day after in our household is when the tree can go up. The lights can come on. And it happens whenever she gets to it. We bring the tree down. But that all starts happening. We went to a Christmas concert last night, the 14th. We're dressed up today celebrating Christmas as well on the 15th. Not just the day, but we celebrate for a long period because it's important. And I think honestly, if we would all remember what we're feeling right now, what we're going to feel next week, the other 11 months ain't going to be nothing but a chicken wing. Okay, stuff happened. We can make it. Tishri 1. This is September 11th, 3 BC. Tishri 1 is the start of their civil new year. It's the first month. Genesis 1:14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. All of this stuff that we go out and we look up at, God put it there for us, for signs, to show us when seasons, for days and for years. Watch the moon. Last night was a big, beautiful full moon. It'll go through its cycle, and then it'll start waning, and then it'll be gone, and then it starts all over. We follow the Gregorian calendar, which follows the sun, which also throws us off. The Jewish calendar is proven to be much more accurate. God set up the stars, planets, sun, and our moon to also show the times, seasons, and signs. This information was something that the Magi would certainly have known. Psalm 19, 1 through 4 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor not language where their, where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. Everything up there. Sitting out at night is one of my favorite things to do. Just watch the stars. Figure out the constellations. I've been trying, and doggone, they are hard sometimes, especially with light pollution. The Bible tells us God was saying something. And today, they still say something. We just don't hear their voices. And I will talk about the obvious here in just a second. Because I know some of you are like, the heavens are for God's glory, and they are there to teach us. Isaiah 40, 26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out the host by number. He calls them all by name. The stars have names. Not the ones we gave them. They have their own name. Polaris is probably up there like, seriously, guys, my name is not Polaris. It's John. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Not one of the stars have actually fallen. We see things fly. Oh, it's a shooting star, right? Falling stars. No. No. Not one is missing. You know why? Because the stars are arranged the way they are, and they do what they do. The planets do what they do because they are telling the gospel story of Jesus Christ. We just have to be smart enough to decipher properly. So, the stars and the zodiac are mentioned in scriptures. References are Job 9, 8 through 9, Job 38, 31 through 33, Amos 5, 8 talks about Orion, Pleiades, and there's another one they mention. This was approximately 2,100 years before Christ. These things are noted. And it, by the way, and in Job's case, it was God talking to Job. Can you loosen Orion's belt? Think about that for a second. God can. If you don't know what Orion's belt, there's three stars. They're almost perfectly in alignment with each other. I always go out and that's the first thing I start looking for. God is the one who gave the signs in the heavens to tell the world of his gospel. When men use this source to gain worldly knowledge instead of using it to seek him, this is where we're going to talk about astrology. Instead of using it to seek him, they make it carnal, fleshly, using it to control others and to lead them away from the knowledge of the Holy One. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil led us away. The tree of life led us to him. But we looked and we thought, oh, it's fascinating to have knowledge. Knowledge is good, don't get me wrong. But knowledge of the Holy One is better. The practice of astrology and fortune telling is forbidden in the Bible, Leviticus 20, 27, and Acts 16, 16 through 19. In the book of Acts, Paul's walking along. A woman comes up behind him and says, "Hail, these are the men of the Most High God." They've been in the area for a while. They know who she is. They know what she does. She's a fortune teller. Paul turns around in that instance, and he cast a demon out of that girl. She was no longer able to do her job. She could no longer fortune tell. And she was successful because the demon had knowledge. Man doesn't. See, people think that the demons and the devil don't have any foresight into the future. They got a little bit. See, when Jesus was taken up to be tempted, Bible says Jesus was taken up there and the devil took him up and he said, "See these kingdoms?" And the best translation I have ever seen of that says he was showing Jesus kingdoms throughout the age to come. Not the ones in the past because they're gone, but the ones coming. Satan said, "I will give you all of those kingdoms if you'll just bow to me." See, he knew he needed Jesus to sin. That's all he knew. Jesus said, "It is written, thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt worship no other gods." That's all he had to say. Why? Because Jesus was confident in the word of God. His faith was totally in the word. Well, they come down. The Bible says that the devil waited, was going to wait for another opportune time. I believe, as many others, that the more opportune time was when he was on the cross, just before. Remember, Jesus is the one that prayed, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass." If the devil would have known what was about to happen when Jesus gave up the ghost, he wouldn't have killed him. He would have never done it. He only knew a part of the knowledge. He didn't have the whole story. That's why the Bible tells us that if we hear one side of the story, I'm going to use Matt and Michelle. Matt comes to me and he says, "Hey, Pastor, I need to talk to you. Blah, 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 blah." Okay. What do you think? Well, I got to hear Michelle's side of the story. Why? Because there's two sides to the story. the rest of the information. And a lot of times it's just, we both missed one thing. But the Bible tells us that it's a sin to us if we make a judgment without hearing both sides of the story. That is why our legal system is set up. You have both sides. You need to present all the facts. Many scholars believe the true zodiac tells the story and picture of God's plan of redemption for mankind. Never really thought about that. Jesus is the subject of the written word from Genesis to Revelation. First time we actually read of Jesus being prophesied or spoken of is Genesis 3:15. He said, "And his heel will bruise your head." He was talking about Jesus. Now, I know many of us in here, they don't like snakes. And like I said, I don't live in fear of them, but I don't sleep with them. I trust them about as far as I could throw one. And if you haven't read Revelation, then you need to, because the whole book's about him, about his return, about his body, his bride, his church. The word written in the heavens, Virgo, is the first in the lead constellation. He's the promised seed. The last and final constellation is Leo, lion, the king, to rule and reign. The story was foretold. Why do you think the devil perverted the study of the message in the stars? Because we missed the importance of it. Oh, that's witchcraft. We need to stay away from it. And I remember the first time I really grasped and I read the Bible for myself. I didn't just sit here and flip through and then go home and put my Bible on the shelf. I sat down and I read. And I read where it, and the first one I read was in Job. Can you loosen Orion's belt? Well, who's Orion? I didn't have Greek history. And I looked it up. That's a constellation. That Bible has to be satanic. It's got information I don't understand. And then I read about a star. They're following a star. And it's going through the heavens. Well, first off, we know stars don't move. They're fixed. It says God hung them. And it's a fact. Navigators all around the world would be totally lost if the stars moved. And I know years ago I showed you a video and it did happen. And the guy showed how Venus and I think Jupiter both moved into Regulus. But they didn't quite come into complete contact. There was still a gap. They moved. Regulus is the king star. Jupiter is the king planet. And they did move. But see, there's a problem with that theory that I didn't know about until reading this. I didn't think about it. Stars are fixed. The star moved and it stopped over Bethlehem. Somebody understood the stars. Somebody understood how all of this works. You know, growing up as a kid, you know, one of the science fair projects you could guarantee an A on was to do the solar system, right? You do the solar system, great. I've seen things now that said we were actually wrong on how it actually all works. We think it's just one big circle. He said it's not. They're doing all kinds of things. They're moving around, but they're not in a perfect circle around us and around the star or the moon. The sun. I'll get it out. Yeah, it's a star. But there's also a time in life we thought it moved around us. Yep, that's not true. God used the zodiac. The devil used the zodiac. Because the zodiac was telling the future. Always has been, ever since God hung them. Has been telling that a virgin will give birth to a king who will rule and reign forever. The devil took that same those same signs. He took the signs for the months. Well, if you're a Gemini, you're like this. I absolutely am not. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You won't get along with, you know, or the Chinese, right? Chinese New Year and all that stuff. Rats don't get along with monkeys. Okay. That's not determined by that. Has no difference. If I were to go according to that, I should not be married to her. Because we don't get along. We get along quite nicely. So, that's garbage. Here's what your tea leaves say today. Don't go out. It's raining. Somewhere it is, I'm sure. Just not where I'm at. Play these numbers. Your lucky number is... I don't have a lucky number. I used to think I did. I was born on the 7th. Woohoo! Nope. It's never worked for me. Why? Because the devil took something that God was trying, because numbers mean something in the Bible as well. Some of this came out of Jewish traditions. Don't forget. Some of this garbage came through religious organizations. Most of it did. Numbers 24:17 says, a star shall rise out of Jacob and rule with an iron scepter. I'm going to read this scripture since I've already told you the date. I got tired of reading things on my phone. I had to get another iPad. The Bible started telling us things. One of them is in Revelation 12. A great wondrous sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. That would have been an interesting sign for John to be watching. She cries out. She's giving birth. What are you on, John? Has starvation really affected you that bad? That you're seeing this in the sky? Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. Again, going back to the prophecy of Isaiah. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of. Let me back up. I missed something. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1260 days. It's foretelling. It's telling the story. Now we can all get on there and we can say, well, you know, this is what I believe. I've done some math. The closest I can come up with is about 1255 days. Some people say that's the entire duration of the tribulation, the great tribulation. No, it's not. It's actually just right around 3.5 years. Do the math. Oh, and by the way, remember, John's Jewish. Some things you may need to take into play. Well, they wrote in Greek, they spoke Aramaic. Yeah, but he was a Jew. I'll tell you right now, I've been overseas, been in foreign countries. I demanded they speak my language, but not everybody did. I had to learn their language. Fortunately, they have the same numbers. So I knew what the speed limits were. I knew addresses, just didn't understand the street sign. John understood a lot of things by the Jewish tradition. God would have told him things by the Jewish tradition. Not, because John was not on the Gregorian calendar at that time either. He was on the Julian calendar. That didn't go away until the 1520, somewhere in that neighborhood. It was in the 1500s. When Pope Gregory said, "This ain't working, guys. We're really off." Next week, we're going to go into the importance of that sign. I've already told you, September 11th, 3 BC, between 6:19 and 7:39 p.m. Which, just heads up, was the start of a new day. Jewish day start in the evening. That's why Jesus had to be taken off the cross when he was, because the sun was about to set. And when the sun set, that started the next day. So there's a lot more to go involved in this, and after seeing all that, I'm like, oh. By the way, I have the guys who did these calculations, I'll give you their references. You can go challenge them. I don't have the time to argue. But if you want to see them, like I said, it's truthandscripture.net. .net or .org. I'll have to look. I think it's .org. But these guys have written books, and they've studied all of this stuff out. They didn't sit at home in Ohio in their little tiny office with limited internet connections and limited personal connections and say, "I think this happened then." They pulled this information from ancient sources. So I thank God he let us be stupid and celebrate it in December. Terrible month for us. But let's think about it. It's cold, sometimes snowy, but still cold. We have something to look forward to. We don't get as much sun as we should. I was standing at the kitchen sink yesterday and I looked out and I told her, "What is wrong? It looks like it's evening out there." It was 1 o'clock. I'm like, the shadows are all wrong. The light is all wrong. Why do I already feel like going to get my jammies on? Sunset the other night was 4:46. But God gave us something to look forward to. And I'll tell you why it is actually kind of appropriate to celebrate on December 25th. And heads up, if you go on the site and you look on it, he didn't talk about this. Yeah, it's for a reason. It's 12:15 now. I don't have the time to tell you everything. And this isn't the book. This is an abridged, I'm getting to the points. But I think it's interesting how God is telling us, how information is coming out. And I do believe that the rapture of the church is imminent. Yes, there is a rapture of the church. I don't think it's going to happen the way everybody's been saying. I have my opinion, and that is that. And I'll give you $2. You can go to McDonald's and get a coffee. There you go. That's all you're getting out of. It's my opinion. That is a fight I refuse to get engaged in. I've watched it split churches. Who cares? Who cares about the actual date? I think this is right. Definitely a lot more right than December. And again, keeping in mind that, if the snow would have been too deep for them to travel. I've been in Georgia in the winter, and that's about the same latitude. Very rarely snows in Georgia. It would have been the rain that would have been the deterrent. Yeah, they get lots of rain. But God saw ahead. He said in 2001, the Antichrist is going to strike the country that really pushed for the celebration of the birth of my son. And he's going to try to ruin it. But I've kept it a secret. Because this guy didn't write this book until after 9/11. So we can have something to still celebrate. All right. Let's stand. I see Phil.
I just want you to know we love you. We still appreciate you. You're still doing a great job.
Good.
you're not perfect, but nope. You is.
Right? Nope. Amen.
Amen.
And what I would like to do is for us, I mean, he's praying for us every time. Amen. At the end of service, and I want us to bless them again. Mm-hmm. Before we give them their gift, because this is the most important part, right here. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We love you, Lord God. Mm-hmm. And we ask you, Lord God, just to stir these two. Help them to seek you with all of their heart. In areas that they maybe don't even know that's still there, that's not clear. Lord God, we ask you to clear that path, that they will seek you first. Mm-hmm. Seek your heart. And to cry out for more and more of you every single second of their lives, Lord God. Because, Father, that's when you said that all their needs will be taken care of. You bless them. Coming in and going out, above only and not beneath, Lord God. So just give them that desire, Lord God. Change them, Lord God. Amen. Help them to see what needs done.
Yes, thank you.
And help them to yield. Because you are the most important thing in our lives, Father. You're all that matters. Yes. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. Nothing. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 So this is, once again, a token of our love for you. Let's give it to her.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. I know we say it every year, but we mean it. We really do love you guys. You are family. I know some of you may not have big extended families, you know, or you may not be close to your families. But just know, I love you as a brother and a sister. And if you're in a fight, if you started it, you're taking the first hit. After that, I got your back. But, yeah, we love you like that. You know, I could pick on my brothers, but you couldn't. So it changes. So, amen. Good? All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So now let's pray. And I will bless you. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the season that we are celebrating. Lord, that in spite of the fact that the world is trying to change it to be a fat dude in a red suit and deer, Lord God, it's still Christmas. It's still about you. Father, even announced through the symphony we listened to, they were all about you. So Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for the gift of your son, for the sacrificial blood that covered, washed away our sins. And Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, they are precious. They're so precious, that is why you sent Jesus. And Father, we bless them today. Lord God, bless them in this holiday season beyond their wildest imaginations. Father, it doesn't even have to be monetary, but just something they may have witnessed, something they got to be a part of. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your great love. May we share it through our lives with people all around us. In Jesus' name, amen.